Normally, Rowan Connolly off the top on a Sunday, but he's just having a little sabbatical with the family up in Queensland. Nick Bowen, of course, regular voice on SEN, does some great work with AFL.com.au and contributes here covering the world of footy, which really does not stop at all. No lag time. Good to see you, Nick.
G'day, Brett. How are things?
Yeah, going okay. The draw's out now, so we can all start sort of planning our year ahead and working out where we're going to be going. I tend to look at it and work at it from a sort of a work perspective and look at sort of the travel for next season. But as always, it always creates plenty of debate and discussion. Yeah.
Well, it's such a, I think it's such a hard thing now with given how many teams there are, limited rounds, you know, the corporate demands of each club as well, just to get a fair draw to accommodate all the commercial requests that clubs have. So it's a bit of a no-win in some ways for the AFL, I think. But look, I reckon it's pretty exciting. I love the increase in Thursday night footy next year. That's one of the new innovations that I've really enjoyed, up from 5 games this year to 8 next year.
Yep.
And Good Friday, I mean, I think that'll be fantastic. I mean, it probably, for those of us in the industry, means a little bit of a less rest over Easter. But, you know, I think it'll be great. I think it's a day that it can work in really well with that holiday.
Yeah, look, I think the Thursday nights, you know, I think was always probably going to increase. Obviously, the Monday nights haven't quite taken off.
No.
Sunday is a difficult one. The twilight, certainly with you know, school and work the next day, certainly for young families to regularly get along to. I suppose it was the question asked of Gillon McLachlan and co. at the press conference on Thursday. Is there maybe too much footy? I mean, how many nights or days of the week do we need to occupy? And I think the AFL will be happy to occupy all 7.
Oh, I think you're right. I mean, what I like about the Thursdays is it doesn't seem to interrupt the flow of the footy week. It starts a little bit earlier. It's like an entree into the weekend, whereas I think the late Sunday games and the Monday night games really just, I think those of us who've been around it for a while really enjoy the, it finishes up Sunday night, you can take stock, you know what your tipping's been and so forth. Those who play fantasy footy can do all that sort of stuff, you know your results then. Whereas Monday just sort of felt like a real bit of a hangover, and I don't think it worked. Whereas I think Thursdays, everyone's really looking forward to the week, and it's just that great entree into it. So that one has worked. I mean, you probably don't really know these things until you experiment it a little bit, do you? But I think that the league has sort of listened to the feedback and probably had that gut feel itself that the Sunday games and the Monday games just didn't work.
No, exactly right. 9429 1116 if you want to weigh into our footy discussion. You can steer it wherever you like over the next hour with Nick Bowen from AFL.com.au in the studio. And the thing I like, Nick, looking at the draw, is that some of the clubs who traditionally haven't got some of the bigger spots, the marquee time slots, have been rewarded with, you know, due to their on-field performance in the last 12 months. Hence, the Western Bulldogs probably the biggest example of that.
Yeah, the Western Bulldogs, off the top of my head, I think it's seven Friday night games, and I think a Thursday night game as well. And look, they're the premiers, they play such an exciting brand of footy. They've got their young players, you know, Bont and Pally and so forth, are so exciting, so they fully deserve that. The Giants, 3 Friday night games next year. The first one under lights on a Friday night, I think at Manuka, which will be fantastic as well. And the Saints are probably the other one, that 4 games that they've got that is very exciting for them. And they are a young team on the rise. Probably the one that I think was a little bit stiff is Melbourne.
Yep.
They've only got the one Friday night game, but I think that we all expect that they're on that upward trajectory, and that they'll, you know, that'll take care of itself in the next few years.
It's a tough one to please everyone, isn't it? I mean, it's probably the most complex. Would it be the most complex fixture in world sport to put together? Just obviously not playing every team twice.
Yep.
You know, 18 teams. I mean, the EPL, well, they have a 38 game season, but everyone plays each other twice.
Well, I think that I, like a lot of other people, grew up back in the days of the 12-team competition, where 22 rounds and every team played each other twice.
Yep.
It was sort of really easy. And now, I mean, we've certainly been conditioned to it, but I think that with an 18-team competition, you know, only playing, you know, 5 teams twice, it's pretty compromised. And then you throw in things like you want the interstate derbies, don't you, or intrastate derbies. You want the 2 West Australian teams to play twice, the South Australian teams to play twice, and so on. And I think that if you take that out, it sort of, you know, really, I don't think we can take that out of the game. I think we want that. But it does compromise the draw. There's no doubt about that.
So from here, I mean, Gillon McLachlan has certainly indicated that perhaps there might be an overhaul in 2018. Mm. And we've been talking about this sort of 17-5 situation. I've been interested in the discussion on SEN and a lot of our great listeners calling in during the week, and everyone's got a slightly different theory of how we can make the draw a little bit better. I mean, I just look at it and think, well, it is what it is. You know, you just, you know, if you're a decent team, you'll get out there and win games of footy, whether it's home, away, some six-day breaks, whatever the case. You're not going to get everything picture-perfect. But do you think there is another level we can go to here to really make the draw better than what it is, the fixture?
Yeah, I think we should at least be asking the question, Brett. I mean, it's one where I think that it is so compromised at the moment that we can make it better, and we should at least be investigating. And I'm not saying that 17-5 necessarily gets up, and certainly the format that might take.
Yeah,
we certainly need to look at different options. The one that I think might be actually quite good is the, you know, the conferences of six, or breaking it up into three lots of six, and perhaps starting the season by playing the five teams in that bracket from the year before, and then go into the other teams, because at that way, I think that one of the biggest barriers to it is the clubs. They don't have sort of certainty about their draw with the I think the brand that Gillen's talking about. Whereas basically I think work out those brackets of six after the first 17 rounds. But with this other model, you know, clubs that have certainty about who they're playing and where, so they can sell it to their corporate sponsors and sort that stuff out well before the start of the season. Because I think that's the biggest, or been the biggest block from the club's point of view, the biggest thing that makes them sort of resist that change.
Absolutely. Your calls, 94291116. Theo in Clayton South on the fixture. G'day, Theo. How are you going?
Good, mate. How are you?
Very well.
I've got a solution for the fixture where everybody plays everybody once. That's round 17. Round 18 will be your derby and blockbuster rounds where the derbies and the showdowns are played, and require four games to finish off the season. So you get the top eight and the bottom 10 to play off their rankings. It'll be up to round 22. Round 23 will be a wild card round where the top 6 teams of the competition had a week off. 7 plays 10 and 8 plays 9. Now, the bottom 8 team plays for draft selection, so 17 will play 18 for the first draft pick.
So who gets the first draft pick? The winner, Theo? Is that what you're proposing? Yeah, okay. Yep.
Well, look, you know, there's lots of things we could do. I don't know. I've heard a lot of callers during the week. I mean, I just think, is there something that drastically wrong with it that we need to reshape it? I mean, it is what it is, isn't it?
From my point of view, I just like to see it get as fair as it can get.
Yeah.
And I think that at the moment it's not, and that at certain points, draws can influence where teams finish. You know, that a team that perhaps is on the rise got a slightly easier draw, or one where, you know, teams that have perhaps been bracketed in a higher bracket have bad years, and supplying them all of a sudden becomes an advantage rather than the disadvantage it was perhaps intended to be. I just think it can get better and we should explore it. I'm not saying that there's a really an obvious formula, but I think it's worth exploring.
94291116, Nick Bowen from AFL.com.au with us. So we can talk about the fixture. Of course, clubs at that stage where they're finalising lists before the draft, and obviously there's been some easy decisions perhaps for clubs to make that would have been maybe even decided mid-year or three-quarters of the way through the year. And then there's those heart-wrenching ones that obviously there's a few players that will sit there on the whiteboard with an asterisk. What do we do? Do we go again with that player? Do we move them on? And some pretty hard discussions that have had to go on in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, definitely. And I think that this year, and probably the last one as well, there's more and more players that are being held over through the trade period, who I think would have normally been re-signed, and so it's clubs are just wanting to keep their options open, and that's understandable. But I think that's what free agency's probably done to this time of the year. But it does create definitely uncertainty for players, and it must be a horrible time. That it always has been, that delisting stage, but I think it's probably given, you know, fans are so much more aware of their lists now and who's uncontracted and who is, that, you know, that I think that for players it just seems to probably stretch out from the end of the home and away season, especially for those clubs that have finished playing. So
well, there's not too many who get that beautiful fairy tale evening.
No, there's not. And I think we forget sometimes just how short the average lifespan of an AFL player is.
Yeah.
So and there's more and more players, I think, now that, you know, if you get to 27, 28, in the old days, you know, you're still seen as being having, say, at least 2 or 3 years left.
Yeah.
Whereas clubs now, if you're not in the, say, the top, you know, dozen at the club,
yeah,
they're going to make the hard decision. If you're not... if they're not in that window at that point of time, they're going to make the hard decision. Look, we're going to go with the kids. So,
well,
it's
look at a
tougher
guy like
tougher.
Matt Spanger. You know, and he could walk away and say, "Okay, gee, it's been a journey. I've been to multiple clubs, but I won a premiership."
Exactly right.
And
yeah,
I've got a bit out of my career. You know, I wasn't probably expected to be an absolute star of the competition, but I've managed to play AFL football at the highest level and actually be part of a premiership.
Oh, look, exactly right. And he's hung around, hasn't he? He's got through horrendous runs of injury, and he's probably still had some of those this year. And, you know, it's, as you say, you don't have, not everyone plays 200, 250 games.
No.
And sometimes, you know, all you need is 30 or 40, but the right games and being at the right club at the right time.
Yeah. And you come in and you play a part, don't you?
Exactly, right, yeah.
You're there, whether you're the 22nd player pick or the 21st, you're there to play a particular role that complements. Perhaps the biggest stars in the team, but is so valuable for that team to have the success.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that he retires knowing he's got everything he could possibly got out of his talent and out of his body. And, you know, as you say, he's got that premiership reunion to always go back to, the bond with those players that he's been a part of. And I'm sure that, you know, behind the scenes, he's been a big part of, you know, Hawthorn's run over that time, one of the most successful in history.
Yep.
And even though he wasn't out in the park, I'm sure he feels, you know, very much part of that.
Adam in Bendigo, 24 past 12. G'day, Adam. Welcome.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call. I'd just like to bring up two things. Look, I really like the idea, what Mick was saying earlier, is more you do it in the first 5 rounds where you're playing the teams around you. Like, I know, being a Melbourne supporter and you know, some of the lower clubs, if you can get a win early, like what it does for the club and the memberships and things like that is huge. And also the second thing is, I think it's absolutely crazy that in the AFL that the bottom team gets rewarded and the top team doesn't at the end of the year. Like, there's nothing that the top team actually gets for being on top. And I think, you know, the way around that could be that the top team gets that rest of the first week of the finals, and then you have the finals down to 9.
Which is what it used to be,
Final Five. Final Five, you got the elimination final and semi-final qualifying final in the first week. So that which is
what happens in local.
Yeah, exactly. So the minor premier would have a week off. They'd then play a semi, and if they won that, they'd have the week off in the prelim as well. Which I think was, you know, there's a bit of talk about what that bye before the finals might do to teams, you know, that won straight through the prelim. But it's been around for quite a while with the Final Five system.
Thanks, Adam. I'm a North supporter, but not keen on Good Friday footballs. I have religious beliefs. What is your opinion? Jackie Duffield is a good SCN listener. Well, it's interesting, Jackie. I mean, I think the start, it's going to be, I think, a 4:20.
4:20, yes.
Start. So it allows people to, you know, if you're religious, to observe that sort of period of the day, taking a bit of the footy, and of course it doesn't really take anything away from the Good Friday appeal, which obviously certainly its prime on a Friday night.
Yeah, I think the real theme of it will be to work it around the appeal and to complement that rather than detract from that. And I think that there's probably a little bit of a lull in the appeal around that time of the day, so it could work really well. Look, it's always a delicate one, isn't it, the religious part of it, and I know that there is an argument that why can't we sort of take a day off AFL? And look, I accept that. I think that's a valid argument, but I think that we've probably, as a community, gone a little bit past it. I think there's probably more people that have a demand for football than those that want to observe the holiday. And I think as long as we do it respectfully and don't, you know, basically ram it down people's throats who don't really want it, then I think it's okay.
Well, the biggest shock to the system would certainly be Christmas Day. We bring it up every year when I'm working at that time of the year here on SCN, and that one is still...
well, you look at American sport that day.
It's
saturation with the NBA. I do like the idea of taking a bit of time out here and there, but, you know, Good Friday is smack bang in the middle of the footy season. It's only really the one day. We have games throughout that Easter break anyway.
Exactly.
You don't have to watch it.
You don't.
Do you?
Yeah, just live your normal day. Andre in Doncaster has joined us. G'day, Andre.
G'day. G'day, fellas. What I'd like to explain to me is the academy system I don't know who's got academies. How do you get them? Where do you pick your players from? And where does... I don't understand the points that you collect from picks that you don't use. It's all beyond me.
I think it's beyond most of us, Andre, but I'll give you a basic explanation. The academies are in the northern states, so in Queensland and New South Wales. So the teams up there all have academies. They're local, obviously local grown products. The idea being to encourage, you know, I suppose, footy development among young kids in Queensland and New South Wales. They effectively pay a much more even price than they used to back in the day. So it's effectively a point system where, say, if someone bids pick two for Isaac Heaney, as happened back in, I think, 2014. Mm. At that stage, all the Swans had to do was give up pick 18 because you only had to give your next pick in the draft. Now there's a points allocation given to pick number two. Say it's 2,700.
Yep.
It's about that. So then the Swans would have to give, if their next pick is 18, that might be worth 1,500. So they've then got to go down their points or their draft picks until they've got the equivalent of 2,700 points, so the equivalent of pick number two. So it's meant to be, I think, strike that balance that, and there is a discount as well, of I think 75%. You only have to pay 75% of that price.
Mm.
So it is a pretty hard one to get your head around, Andre, I know that. But it's designed to be a bit fairer, and I think that the real idea of that is, let's develop some homegrown products in those states, which I think certainly helps some of the clubs. You know, Sydney's really well established, but retain players, retain local homegrown products.
Yeah, look, absolutely nothing against that from my point of view. Thank you, Andre. Hopefully you've digested that, maybe a little bit clearer. At 29 past 12, Michael's on the road. Michael.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just talking about the fixture, we've heard about 17-5 and we've heard about 5-17. What about this idea, just taking it one step further, dividing into conferences of six, so in the first five rounds, you play the sides that finish in, let's say, the bottom six. And then when you begin the remaining 17 rounds, you play those same sides again on the opposite ground, so that in the first 10 weeks, you've played home and away against the other five sides in your conference, and then you proceed in the last 12 rounds to play the other six teams in Conference 1 and the other six teams in Conference 2. That may well give your side wins and losses in the first few weeks, which will obviously help your membership, your sponsors and all the rest of it, and probably retain a lot more interest going into the latter part of the year.
You know, I reckon that the hard one with that, Michael, and I don't dislike it, but is how do you work out who's in which conference? And that can be, you know, I think, you know, if you get in a conference you're not overly happy with, you know, commercially, or you don't reckon there's some great crowd-drawing games in there, then I think clubs are going to be pretty unhappy with that. That's, I think, one of the real realities of this is that the commercial side of things for clubs is pretty important. I just foresee that clubs will be, there'll be a lot of argy-bargy about which conference you might get in. The only other thing with that is that, you know, if you're playing those, you know, your first 10 rounds are against five teams, that's probably one of the things about the footy now that I find a bit annoying is that sometimes you won't play a team till round 20.
Yeah, correct.
You know, which is, so that might be a source of aggravation for some supporters.
Thanks, Michael. Nicholas in Endeavour Hills, just before we break. Yeah, g'day, Nick.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Look, in terms of Friday night, or good Friday night footy, I think it's a pretty bad decision, to be honest. I think that in the Christian and Catholic calendar, that's the most significant day for that religious calendar. It's bigger than Christmas. And if we're going to play sport on Good Friday, then what's to stop us from playing sport and, you know, and start having the Boxing Day test on Christmas Day instead? I mean, it's just like your thoughts on that.
So you're totally opposed, Nick, to those 2 days because of those the religious reasons?
Yeah, I mean, we play...
We can't combine both at all?
Sorry?
We can't combine religion and sport on the same day? Is there any way in your mind?
No, well, I think we can for certain aspects, but I mean, depending on, you know, I'm not sure how religious you two are, but, you know, Jesus died on that day for us, and I think going into a sport where you want to beat someone else isn't probably in the spirit of that sense. I mean, you can have other sporting games and other religious days and like Easter and things like that in the calendar, which is fine, but, you know, Good Friday itself, I think, is Yeah, it's probably not the best idea.
Oh, I think there'd be a lot of people out there, Nick, that would share your viewpoint. The one thing I would say is that I think as a society we're becoming much more multicultural, where you know a lot of people don't celebrate Good Friday or they don't celebrate Christmas in their religion. So I think that that's where, and I think there's a lot of probably Christians who don't really feel passionately about, you know, observing those days. So
yeah.
I think there's just probably been a groundswell where more in the community now don't probably share the beliefs as strongly as you do, Nick, that they're prepared to have that sort of football. But I certainly respect where you're coming from.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. These two clubs, North Melbourne and the Bulldogs, have been given first crack at it, and Gillon has said we want a full house and we want them to really make the most of the day. And if they don't, we'll perhaps look to have alternative teams or maybe share it around, a bit like you know, Anzac Day, where there might be maybe two or three games.
Well, North have been pushing for this since the early 90s, so look, they've got their wish. I think it does sound very much like the AFL will rotate it, and I think that I don't mind that. I can understand that, you know, the two clubs involved would love to own the time slot, but you know, there's been such resistance, I think, over time to the fact that why do Essendon and Collingwood get Anzac Day? Why should other teams get these you know, locked in blockbusters? But they're too hard to change now. But I think that from the outset, we can make Good Friday one that's not locked in.
In the Herald Sun today, Lions' big TV return, Nick, after months in seclusion, battling health, relationship and personal issues, Gary Lyons set to make his return to television with Channel 9's Footy Classified next year. There have been quite a few murmurs around the traps about that. And, of course, murmurs that will be on this radio station next year doing breakfast. More to come on that in the next few weeks. I can't shed any light on that.
That's great. I think that he's too big a talent not to come back into the industry. I think that, you know, not only does he have his standing of his playing career, but he's a fantastic commentator. And I think he brings so much credibility to the shows that he's been on, that every show that he hasn't been on has been poorer for his absence. So, you know, understandably really sensitive personal circumstances. But I think great that he can come back into the industry next year and get back into it.
No doubt. Nick on the road to talk a bit more footy. Hi, Nick.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. Hey, I was just wondering what your thoughts were as to whether or not the AFL would ever go towards a best of three grand final. My thoughts are after watching...
Nick.
Well, you know, you watch great basketball final series like they had last year in the NBA. I just wonder how it would have been to watch, you know, the Swans and Bulldogs back up the following week and see what the Swans do different. I just think while they're throwing around ideas of, you know, how to fix up the draw, if everyone just played everyone once, shorten the season and then add a best of three grand final, you get some extra games out of the best team.
That's the only way you could do it, Nick, is to shorten the season, I think. The only problem with shortening the season, I think, is that as much as everyone loves the grand final, you're taking games out of all the other teams. So people are most passionate when their team's sort of still playing. So shortening the season, I think, probably reduces that interest period for a lot of teams. And
there's no way the AFL are going to shorten the season,
are they? No, they're not. And I think that the beauty of football and the disadvantage at the same time is it's such a physical game that you can't play as much as basketball. So basketball, for instance, and baseball, you know, you can play more games. You know, baseball, the pitches rotate. They're the ones who probably wear the real brunt of it. But footy, everyone wears the brunt of it. You can't back up that much. And my reservation with that as well, Nick, would be you look at how poor how one-sided that 2010 replay was between Collingwood and St Kilda.
True.
There's just that potential for a bit of a letdown after what might be a great sort of first grand final. So I don't mind the thinking. It's good to sort of challenge the status quo, but I just can't see it sort of happening in footy.
Hey, you mentioned baseball. We're keeping an eye on the World Series. Game four, bottom of the fourth. It is Cleveland, the Indians 3, the Chicago Cubs 1. We're all over it. John on the road at 21-1. Hi, John. Hello, John.
Okay, just got an idea to make the fixture perfect for everyone. It makes the season shorter. Fits in a mid-year trade period. And, I reckon we should play it over 2 years. So you play every team once, twice in a row, and have your finals at the end of 2 years.
Yeah, I think people want the finals. They want a grand final every year, John. That'd be my reservation with it. I think it's a sport where we want to win it, don't we? So
I'll tell you what, we could come up. We could do 6 hours on this. We could come up with all sorts of permutations and combinations. And I'm with you, Nick. I mean, I'm all for opening it up. I'm not against change. But we might head into a bit of silly season with this sort of stuff. what we might come up with. Thank you, John. Sean in Belgrave. G'day, Sean.
G'day, guys. I just want to speak about Good Friday game. I think it's bloody fantastic. You know, we need Christmas Day for cricket. We need Fairy Tale Friday for football. We need a Charles Darwin round, you know, pre-season round in February. We need to really get this country going ahead in the 21st century. So, you know, Fairy Tale Friday is a great idea. Christmas Day cricket's a fantastic idea. And a February 12th, you know, pre-season game to honour the great Charles Darwin on his birthday would be absolutely magic.
Well, anything's possible, isn't it, Sean? I mean, nothing stays the same forever.
No,
that's one thing we certainly know.
And the AFL's waded into Good Friday pretty cautiously, haven't they? They got the go-ahead from the commission 2 years ago.
Yep.
It's taken them 2 years to put it in. Cynics out there might suggest that's because it's part of the new time to be part of the new broadcast deal. It might have bought them a few extra dollars in that new broadcast deal.
Yep.
But, look, certainly they haven't rushed into it, and I think there's widespread support throughout the community for it.
Thank you, Sean. John on the road. G'day, John. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, how you going, guys?
Going well.
It's good. I'm all for the Good Friday game, as long as I'm a Christian myself. But I reckon there should be two criteria.
Righto.
And one of them would be there'd be no gambling on the game. And the second one would be a good portion of the profits would actually go to the Good Friday appeal.
Oh,
if
I think that
would happen.
Yeah.
That'll happen. Yep.
Yeah, I think certainly that latter point, John, is very much designed. The game is to, you know, to build up the appeal and boost the numbers there. So that'll certainly be a big part of the game.
Well, that's been a big part of the getting to this decision is actually working in with the Good Friday appeal.
Exactly,
how can we link in? Not to take anything away from the Good Friday appeal, but actually enhance it a little bit more.
Exactly right.
Thanks, John. Robert in Narre Warren on the finals footy. Rob?
Yeah, g'day, guys. How are you?
Good, mate.
Well, thanks, mate.
Just talking about the previous call a couple of callers ago, he was talking about playing the grand final every 2 years.
Yes.
That would be a disaster.
Prick your ears, Rob, did it?
Because the football's all about dollar driven. It's about money driven, and if you miss out on a grand final on that year, you'd lose billions. You'd lose a lot of money.
Yeah,
I reckon we can safely say
Robert's not going to happen.
Yep.
No.
I
like people thinking outside the square, but I think that's a little bit far outside the square for mine.
We're going to have a nice, healthy conclusion to each season with a definitive conclusion. Thank you, Rob. Greg in Meadow Heights. G'day, Greg.
Yeah, good afternoon, boys. Enjoying the program.
Thank you.
Just ringing up about Good Friday. I'm a passionate Christian. What I just wanted to say was when I'm a passionate St Kilda supporter as well, and when they announced that they were having the gay pride match, made me a bit uncomfortable, but I went to speak. I'm a leader at my church, but went to speak to my mentor, who's from a minister from another church, and he said to me, "You're going to a game of football. That's what you're doing. You're going to enjoy the game." And what I believe is that God is not one bit worried about a game of football. And what I believe is he's saying to his believers, "Go and enjoy the game. Don't be stressed. Just go there and enjoy the game. Go enjoy a game of footy."
Well, you can do both, can't you? You can observe the day and go to the footy as well. I can understand the more devout Christians out there have a problem with it. That's understandable. But yeah, I think there's more support for it, or the support for it is more widespread than the resistance.
Just a bit of reaction on the SMS. Good Friday footy winner stays on. Why does everyone want to make the season shorter? It's too short now. Play everyone twice. Well, Krazza, that's going to be...
Not speaking for the players.
It's going to be very tough to get the support of the players on that. Do the premiership winning team get any prize money?
I'm pretty sure they do. I can't tell you the exact amount off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure they do.
People don't turn up most weeks, yet for some reason are desperate to go on Good Friday. Makes no sense.
Well, Good Friday, I reckon it'd be interesting to see whether it becomes a TV game or whether it's one that attracts a crowd. That'll be an interesting one.
Indeed. Paul in Croydon, you've got a thought on Good Friday as well, Paul?
Yeah, I do. G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, mate.
That's good. Yeah, I was just wondering if it's probably not a bad idea, because I'm guessing they'll offer a trophy of some kind, that the winner stays on, a bit like pub rules on a pool table.
So
the winner next year, that's fine. They've got the hold of a Royal Children's Hospital trophy or something, and then the following year the AFL can give them a new challenger.
Mm.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that. I really get the feeling, Paul, that it will be rotated. Yeah. And I think that if you're the winner, then there's an argument that you've got the right to stay on, definitely.
Absolutely. Don't mind that at all, Paul. Mick in Mooney Ponds, hot topic this afternoon. Good Friday. What do you think, Mick?
Look, I reckon Good Friday is good. We've got to get into the spirit of it, though. And, I mean, there has been some silly suggestions today, but I think we should crucify the captain of the losing team. What do you blokes reckon?
So we understand your
tongue's in your cheek, firmly in your cheek there, Mick.
Beautifully done,
not
Mick.
A bad joke.
Beautifully done. Thank you, Mick. Des in Shepparton. Des. Hello, Des.
Hello.
Hello, Des. Good, mate.
I was listening about the draws before, and I've got my own little version of it.
Yep.
17-18, you play that everybody wants. You have a bye at round 9. You have a bye at round 17 at the end of that. What you do then in the final 6 rounds is you play each. So depending where you finish on the ladder, it doesn't matter where you finish on the ladder, you play 2 in the top 6, 2 in the middle 6, and 2 in the bottom 6.
The only problem you're going to get with that, I reckon, Des, is that if you're playing every team once before that, you got then got 23 rounds. Is that what you're going for?
The idea would be to play one more round per year. But in saying that, you know, everyone's complaining about the blockbusters and the derbies and all those things. In the final 6 rounds, you can play, the Crows can play Port. Everybody can play their big matches because you're still going to play 2 teams in each of those groups of 6. So, and you're playing, everyone's saying, oh, the draws, you've got the top 2 playing each other all the time. Well, in this way, 2 teams, you've got to play 2 in the top 6, 2 in the middle, and 2 at the bottom. And it's equitable all the way through for everybody, that it's not just the bottom 6 play each other in the final 6 round sort of thing doing it that. It's fair all the way through. Okay, there's one more game, but that's the way. When you've got an uneven comp, when you have to play 17 rounds, then you have to have an uneven comp. That's the only downside to it.
Okay, all right. Well, just jot it down. I respect your call, Des.
I don't mind it. I think the only problem is it makes the season, you know, 1 week longer. We've got the AFLPA trying to add an extra bye round in. We're either going to have to start earlier or get used to an October grand final.
We've been reading a bit about Chris Yarram and his battles over the last few days, and obviously a little bit more in the Herald Sun today. Relaxed and smiling, Chris Yarram revealing his burning desire to return in 2017 to play the game he loves, and of course he's been working with Tom Couch, of course, son of the late Paul Couch, who, of course, played a bit of football and now into the personal training side of things, has been working very closely to try and get Chris Yarram back to that level you need to be.
Yeah, well, look, I think, you know, Tiger supporters would be still riding high from the trade period with Dion Prestia and Josh Caddy. And, you know, you look at them and you think, geez, if we could get a fit Chris Yarram on the park next year with his head in the right place and, you know, playing the footy he's sort of capable of, it's pretty exciting. And now, from reading the article, it sounds like he's obviously had a very tough year, but starting to get his head around, you know, wanting to be back out there playing footy again and you know, getting really those competitive juices flowing again.
Absolutely. I'm just trying to think of the bit where I read where he made the comment to Tom. I think they might have been over in
Thailand, was it?
Thailand. Yeah. Which sort of indicated to Tom that maybe Chris is in the frame of mind. They were watching, I think, one of the finals.
I think Sydney Adelaide he was talking about, and he's saying I'd be running rings around these blokes. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. We thought, well, maybe you're half a chance to get back if if you think you can actually come back and do some damage. And we know that if he can get his mind right, his body right, that
he's a
he can only
talent,
be an asset.
Supreme talent. I think one of the seasons he played under Mick Malthouse was absolutely brilliant. 4th in the Carlton BNF.
Yep.
He's had his problems since then, but he is a supreme talent.
He is.
He would be, coming off a half-back flank for the Tigers, he could be absolutely what they need. You know, really break games open. I hope he can get back.
No doubt. I mean, look, you know, 25, he's heading to that period where you can play some of your best footy between 25 and 30. So let's hope so, because his best has been pretty spectacular in the competition. 9-4-2-9-11-16, maybe you've got a thought on that as a Tigers fan. Now, I did mention, Nick, Australian women's sport is about to unleash its own code-straddling version of Sonny Bill Williams. Meet GWS draftee Jacinda Barclay, who looms as the Giants' X-factor in next year's inaugural female AFL competition. Like Sonny Bill, Barclay is a star in multiple sports, and when she has a crack at something, it usually turns to gold. She led the Chicago Bliss to Legends Football League glory as the quarterback in the US earlier this year. showing great poise, power, agility during her debut season in the Women's American Football League. Her CV also includes a silver medal at the 2010 Women's Baseball World Cup, where her lethal pitching helped steer Australia into the deciding game. And this is one of many tales of very good sports people out there in other sports who are now getting an opportunity to play a game that in the background, while they were pursuing these other sports, they thought, gee, I'd love to have a crack at Australian rules football.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic, isn't it, that women have probably been, there hasn't been the pathway for them to really play footy at the highest level before that. And I think I was telling you just off air before that, I've seen that at local footy where, the club my boys play at, that there's girls' teams now, and they're just really lapping it up, really embracing it. And I think it's absolutely fantastic for the game, just, in terms of the interest it creates and the ability for those girls to really, get stuck into it.
Well, think about Jess Cameron. We're going to speak to Meg Lanning after 1 o'clock, who made 190 for the Vic Spirit yesterday. And I think Jess Cameron also made a century. In fact, made 108 off 120 deliveries. She's been picked up by Collingwood. Played a couple of those games for Melbourne, where she kicked 5 against Brisbane in one of the exhibition games at the MCG earlier in the year. A girl who's obviously taken centre stage in the world of cricket, individual honours, been part of World Cup victories, multi-talented, who's, here we go, scored a century yesterday, and we're going to see her running around February, March next year.
Well, we know that talent flows onto multiple sports a lot with a lot of people, doesn't it? And it's probably the specialisation that's been demanded in, say, cricket with the men and footy with the men as well, that they haven't been able to pursue both. But, the cricket's probably lost a lot of talent through people specialising in footy and vice versa. The women perhaps have a bit more of a chance at this stage to play a broader range of sports, and I think that the women's comp will be richer for it.
Yeah, there's a challenge there for a lot of sports. You're not necessarily just going to retain players in your sport. I mean, with the Women's Big Bash and the success of that, the AFL women's competition coming in, it's going to lure some players. Some of those sports that they might have played their whole life. So, interesting times. Richard in Cowes. Jimmy, nice down there today, Richard.
Oh, absolutely. A beautiful day. Look, good afternoon, gents. Look, I'm a Richmond member. I haven't seen the newspaper article concerning Yarrawarra next year.
Sorry, I missed the question, Richard.
Do you think Yarrawarra can play next year?
Oh, look, I think there's no reason. I think that from what I understand, that the problems have been more mental than physical, and I think that that's, we certainly don't underestimate how big a challenge he perhaps has got to get back and how tough a year that he's had. But certainly from reading that article, I think he's saying he's in the best headspace he's been in for quite some time, and it certainly sounds that, from Tom Couch's quotes as well, that his application to his training is a lot better, his mental or his desire to get back is a lot stronger than it has been for a long while. So I think if he keeps going on this path, I think that he should play. I'd fully expect him to be back next season.
Yeah, we hope so, Richard, because you want good elite talent who have a bit of X factor about them playing in this competition. It makes a game of footy more appealing to go to, and he's the one that can carve up an opposition, whether he's coming off half-back, swinging forward.
And as you said before, at 25, he's way too young to be lost to the sport.
Notice the Gold Coast today, too, on the hunt for a new major sponsor. So there's plenty going on up at the Gold Coast. We've had Tony Cochran on the station. We love Tony. He's straight down the line. And, I'm interested, in fact, probably speak to Tony Shebeki, long term. He did obviously a great job with the V8s over a long period, Tony, whether he can make a real fist of the Gold Coast. Looks like he's in for the long haul. Mm. He truly believes in the product and what they can do in one of the toughest markets to establish a sporting team, and so many have fallen by the wayside. They are on the hunt for a new major sponsor. The news on Gary Ablett during the week. I mean, a really interesting time. They've slipped behind GWS in terms of membership numbers this year.
Yeah, they have, and I think that they've obviously lost some elite talent over the past couple of years with Bunnell going to Fremantle, and then this season with Prestia and O'Meara going. But they've still got a lot of talent. They really do. I think, in fairness to them, the concessions they had weren't as strong as the Giants ones. So that's probably meant that they haven't come on quite as quickly. But there's been a lot that's gone wrong. They've had a lot of injuries to really key players, but I still love a lot of the spine that they've got in place. I think Tom Lynch is the best young forward in the league.
Yeah.
Absolute superstar. Stephen May, Rory Thompson, Dan Beck are pretty solid. And let's not forget, they've got picks 4, 6, 8, and 10 in this year's draft.
Not bad.
That's pretty good. I think if they make those picks, or they get most of those right, they won't be too far off.
No, you're right. And look, I suppose the positive to come out, having done a lot of their games in the last 2 years, that they've been able to get some game time in terms of the depth of their list into some guys who mightn't have been regulars, who've been able to, I suppose, get a little leg up in terms of their AFL experience. So throw those good players in around them. Fingers crossed they can stay injury free, and Rodney E can actually have a proper crack at it.
Yeah, and in terms of next year, they really haven't. They haven't had O'Meara. So that's not really a loss in that sense. That, you know, you look at from 2016 going to next year, that's not a loss. Prestia struggled to get onto the park a little bit as well. So I think that those guys, they'd love to have kept them, but I don't think that's going to impact upon their ability to improve next year.
Exactly right. Nick, good to spend an hour with you.
Thanks, Brett.
Do you get a break at all, mate?
I'm sort of having a break at the moment, which has been nice.
Draft coming up, so... Yeah, big period in the AFL. We're going to cover it here, of course, on Melbourne's Home of Footy. And you can read all the news at afl.com.au.
Good on you.